Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Flavor, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz for Sunday, October 11th. How are you doing? Mike, how are you?
Hey, Jazz, I'm doing great.
Okay, I need to call Dean. Our guest today is Dean James. He's a saxophonist, and he just texted me saying that he's having problems calling in. So I'm going to play one of his songs while I give him a call. But, Mike, I wanted to let you know that Cheryl Boone is in the chat room.
Okay. Cool.
Hello.
Yeah. Dean?
Yes, Terry.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Okay, you were having some problems calling in.
Yeah, I've been working on it for the last 5 minutes, but I finally got through.
Okay, I'm sorry for that. I don't know what was going on, but I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. That's perfectly all right.
So how are you doing, Mr. James?
I'm good. Had a great show last night here in Houston. I had a couple of guests that unexpectedly came in, but It turned out to be a great show. Carl Thomas came in and sat in with me last night.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course, you know the show P. Diddy's Making His Band. They finally had the season finale last night with picking out the new band members for his tour. Michael Moore on drums was picked, and he came and sat in with me last night. So that was a treat, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where did you play?
Last night, played at a place called the Red Cat Jazz Cafe, downtown Houston.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's cool. That's so cool. So, everyone, this is our guest, saxophonist Dean James. He has a brand new CD out called Love Takes Time. And I got a chance to listen to some of the music. Very nice. I especially like Can I Take You Out Tonight, because I was a huge fan of Luther Vandross.
Yes, so was I.
Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
No, but I know some of the musicians that have worked with him, and of course, if you followed my first and second CD when I was signed to Ichiban Records back in 95, I used, Brigette Bryant, Lynn Fidmon, and Fred White, who sang behind Luther, except for Lisa. I couldn't get Lisa Fisher on the CD somehow, that was my connection to Luther, and I knew some of the writers as well. So,
okay,
yeah,
all right. Well, one of the first questions I want to ask you is about the Berklee School of Music, because there was a competition going on. The International Songwriting Competition, and there is a teen category, and the winner, the grand prize winner of the teen category, receives a full scholarship to Berklee College of Music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to get some insight on the school. What is it that we've interviewed a lot of artists that attend this college.
Right.
So what is the Berklee School of Music?
Well, first of all, when I heard about it, it was back in 1977 is when I picked up this catalog and I asked my teacher about this, and I'm thinking, okay, the Berklee College of Music, and at the time I went to school in San Francisco, and I'm thinking, okay, Berkeley across the bay, and he made mention that no, mm-hmm. it's the Berkeley mm-hmm. School of Music in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And I flipped through the pages, and I saw Quincy's name in there, Jeff Lorber, a few others in there, and it's one of the most prestigious jazz or contemporary jazz schools available to us. And you know, I'm sure now that they're the repertoire of music there has changed, and you know, they have more classes to offer, different idioms of music, and I've absorbed a lot just being there. The 2.5 years that I was there, back in '79 through '81. And I think that time, too, I got a chance to meet with Branford Marsalis. Terry Lynn Carrington just won a scholarship. She was getting out of high school, but she was already playing behind Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers and playing with a few other artists. But, yeah, it's something I would recommend. And if I were to go back, I'd go back and teach, you know. It's just an incredible school.
Okay. All right. Well, you studied jazz and classical music there. So that's good. I've always wondered about that. And, you know, when I first heard about Berkeley, I thought the same thing you did, that it was in Berkeley, California.
Right.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. But I've always heard about this school, so I was just curious about it. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that this was a full scholarship for this competition for the teen category, mm-hmm. I thought this is awesome, just awesome.
Oh,
for some young person that's going to win that competition to be able to attend this college.
Right.
It's going to be great. All right. Well, let's talk about Love Takes Time. Tell us about your brand new CD.
Yes. Love Takes Time. Well, it was released last February. And before that, I spent a whole entire year piecing together the project, and it took me a good maybe 6 months of pre-production time trying to piece together music. Majority of the music, I'd say 90% of the music I wrote, arranged, programmed, sequenced, everything you can think of, I did on my own. And then I pulled, you know, brought in most of the live artists, live musicians later on to do the overdubs. But I took my time with it, there's been some growth in my writing skills and hanging around Bob Baldwin so much. But anyway, Love Takes Time, the title track, was originally written for Rochelle Farrell. I couldn't get her on the project. She was either overseas, I ended up recording it and playing soprano sax on it. There was another song on there that was written for Brian Culberson called Sensual. And it was a toss up between, well, you know, you should do it as a sax song or record it, alongside with Brian, and he was on the road, so I couldn't get him to commit to it. But the whole entirety, I've got maybe six original arrangements on there, which I pieced together, and of course, my personal tribute to Luther Vandross, you know, Can I Take You Out Tonight? Song that Kate Bush had written quite a few years ago called This Woman's Work. And, of course, it became more popular when Maxwell re-recorded the song and ended up on as a soundtrack on the movie For Love and Basketball, I think it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the tune by Joe, All the Things Your Man Won't Do, is another one. I know Najee recorded it a few years as well, but everyone pushed me to do that song. You know, I'll do my whole thing of cover tunes at some of these jazz clubs, and you know, I get a lot of feedback from it, you know. And so I'll play around with a lot of covers as well, because, you know, a lot of us smooth jazz guys will put something out there, and you know, which most of our listeners are familiar with. you know, or that they can identify with. But yeah, this project was real special to me, and that's how it came about.
Okay. How long have you been in the business?
Whew. Well, let's see. Wow. After Berkeley, well, I came back summer of 81 and moved back to the Bay Area. And so I lived in San Jose. My whole entire family's in San Jose. And so played a few jazz clubs out there. Then a friend of mine, drummer, Floyd Adams, moved out to L.A. and was playing behind Chaka Khan. So I called me and said, hey, why don't you come out to L.A.? So in 85, I moved out to L.A., and I've been there for 13 years, doing a lot of session work. And I guess 92 was when I started my professional career, you know, doing music full time, and was a little skeptical. Before that, I was a computer guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, then you, when you left Brooklyn, you came back to San Francisco. You actually started in gospel, playing gospel behind a gospel artist.
Exactly. I was at a church in San Jose, and Danny Bell Hall, the late Danny Bell Hall, was sitting in the audience, and she had just come out with something called Ordinary People, and which was up for a Grammy nominee, and so she her Dora Taylor, her manager, approached me about it and asked me if I were interested in going out on the road with Danny Bell, and of course, you know, sure, and
yeah.
From that point, she introduced me to Edwin and Walter Hawkins, Tremaine Hawkins, Andre, Sandra Crouch, anybody who was an icon in the gospel industry.
Yes, those are big names right there. The Crouches and the Wines and all those big names.
Oh, yeah.
I
was able to sit in with Leon Patillo, Ben Tankard. It was a phenomenal experience, you know. But after that, I moved to L.A. in 85, and Gary Taylor approached me in 92, and come to find out, we were going to the same church, and of course, you know, Andrew Wilfolk was playing sax there too, and Andrew always travels with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I was doing some recordings for Gary, and he introduced me to Vesta Williams, Sherelle, Alexander O'Neill, Howard Hewitt, the list goes on and on. So I played behind a lot of R&B artists back then.
Yeah. Because looking at your bio, I'm like, goodness, I'm like, you played behind, I mean, everybody, you know, like Vesta, Gene Karn, Norman Connors. I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, yeah, it's a very extensive list that you've been playing the Sadman and everything. But and also Najee. I see Najee was on there too.
Yeah, that was a funny thing because I didn't start my career as Dean James until, now, mind you, my middle name is James, so
okay.
You know, so Dean James didn't evolve until I got signed to Ichabod Records in 1995, and that's when I started my smooth jazz career, and I've always been trying to break into the industry as an artist, you know, and I've been a sideman for so many years, and I've been approached by a few labels, and would you, you know, we want to put out a CD on you, or we want to record something, you know, of your material. But I, you know, I was so caught up with the session, being a session artist, and it was good. You know, I was getting a lot of work, getting a lot of calls, word of mouth. I was, you know, my name was being passed around, so it was fun. It was fun, and. But Najee gives me a call. I get a call from Najee when I moved to Atlanta, and he was stopping through. At one point, it was the House of Blues, and now it's the Tabernacle is what it's called, and called me. I was sitting at home watching TV, just chilling, and he says, hey, why don't you come in and sit in with me? And, yeah, so I went out there and shared half of the concert with him. It was a cool deal, and you know, I respect a lot of these cats out there who's doing it, and you know, I'm trying to rub elbows with my peers for a minute, but you know, we're still doing it.
Yeah,
still doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me ask you too. Now, I was looking at the reading about. Now, what was it like performing at the? Because you performed at the Stellar Awards too back in 2000.
Right. I did, and thanks to Jerry Peters. Now, Jerry Peters is a phenomenal writer, and Jerry, I call him Uncle Jerry, and of course, he on my second CD. I'm sure you know of Intimacy,
yes,
where Market Street mm-hmm. was my hit single back in '97. But if you look at some of the other arrangements, Jerry had written some songs for me. Now, if you're not familiar with Jerry, you know Jerry had written. You Got Me Going in Circles. He had written the whole score for the movie The Mac back in the 70s. But he's written quite a few songs out there, quite a few hit songs. And but Jerry had he was over the gospel division over at Interscope at one time, and he was going back and forth between Interscope and Motown, and he finally moved back to L.A. from Atlanta. Gave me a call and asked me if I would coordinate the horn section for the Stellar Awards. And so at that point, I ended up playing behind Lee Williams and the Gospel QCs and who else? Yolanda Adams, Kirk Franklin, a few names. But that was fun, too. That was fun.
Okay. So should we expect an inspirational CD in the future with all the – with your background in gospel?
Oh, I'd like to. I've been approached by that by some folks about that as well, and I'm considering it.
Okay.
That and a Christmas CD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, let's listen to some music now. I want to play "Can I Take You Out Tonight?" because, as I said, I was a huge fan of Luther's, and I love your version of it.
Cool.
So let's take a. Oh, you're welcome. Let's take a listen to "Can I Take You Out?" All right. I love that. Are you singing in the background?
No. I actually, I've got some local talent here in Houston, a gentleman by the name of Andre James, and, of course, a phenomenal background vocalist, a lead vocalist out of New Orleans. Her name is Joy Mack. And put them together. She actually put the arrangement, the vocal, the whole entire vocal arrangement together for the session, and that didn't take no more than 45 minutes, so it was cool. Didn't spend a lot of time, but that song, I love that. It's so melodically challenging, and I put my own interpretation of the song at the very end, because the song itself, if you listen to Luther's version, you know, the lyrics and the something about the lyrics where the only way to pull off that song is you have to play it exactly the way he sang it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to my sax lines next to his vocal arrangement, it's the same exact melody lines. And I spent some time with it, and I loved a lot of the stuff that he was doing, and I checked out the video as well and researched that, and this is just a beautiful song.
Yeah, I love that.
I've always thought that he was the king of remakes and ballads. Nobody did them like Luther.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And then I want to ask too, Melissa, because I really love that song and everything. And I was reading your bio, Melissa. I've been doing a lot of reading on your background. And I was wondering, were you a football player? Was that how you started playing the sax? Or?
Look, this was in high school. And that's how I started playing the sax. I love sports, and playing all whatever sports I can get into as a kid. And so my freshman year of high school, I wanted to put that uniform on and play wide receiver, but I was too small. But I went out, but I was quick, I was fast, and so I went out for tryouts, and then I got on the team, and the very first game, I guess it's called a scrimmage, I got a helmet right in the knee. And that ended my whole entire football career. And so,
wow.
Yeah, so I was out for 6 months, and the school said, hey, you know, call my parents, and your son has to pick another elective. And I ended up picking up, what is that, orchestra. And,
wow.
So the first thing, hey, this is the funny thing. I picked out a trumpet, took it home, and couldn't do it. Couldn't deal with it, you know. So brought it back the next day, and I ended up with an alto sax in my hand. So took that home, and I knew I was on my way somewhere when I played. The first song was Mary Had a Little Lamb. I got through that, and you know what? I said, you know what? I can play this thing. And I saw my sophomore year and my junior year, I was doing nothing but during the summers, it was 8 to 10 hours a day. You know, discipline was there, and I wanted to learn this instrument, and I progressed during the summer, and so I sent Berkeley, the Berkeley College of Music, sent them my audition tape, and I ended up with a scholarship. And of course, during that time, as you mentioned earlier about the some of these contests that the school is hosting and that didn't happen back then, you know, in the early 80s. They didn't have those to offer. And unless you were academically inclined and that was the only way, and sending in an audition tape of a classical piece along with a contemporary piece, and that's how I got in.
Oh, I didn't know you have to audition to get into the school.
Oh, of course.
I thought you just could. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know that.
Well, you have to have X amount of years, you know, in your formal training and or some kind of musical background, which I didn't have. My family's not a musical family at all. And well, my brother picked up the drums as soon as I, a few years after I picked up the sax. and he's playing professionally, which is a great thing. But back then it was, you know, you didn't have all these opportunities that were offered to you up front, you know, based compared to back then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know that you had to audition to get into the school. I thought you just could apply.
Yeah.
And get in. Okay. Interesting. Sort of like Fame, only just music and not,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
acting and all that. Okay. Got it. All right. Let's listen to another song. What are your favorites on the CD, Dean?
Well, the single, When I See You Smile, and, of course, Brighter Days is one of my favorite ones, too.
Okay, I have When I See You Smile, so let's play that. Is there a story behind this one?
No, you know what? not really. I just spent some time with it, and I nursed it, and I was looking for something that was radio-friendly, and... you know, that was the idea that came out of that song. And the funny thing is I lost that file while I was working on it, and I accidentally deleted some of my work. I ended up re-recording it, and it came out better than it did the first time. So I was excited about this version.
Okay. All right. When I See You Smile. When I See You Smile from saxophonist Dean James' current CD, Love Takes Time. You can play that saxophone, Dean. That was very nice.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Love that one. Yeah. And, Dean, I want to ask you, too, like I said, you know, you got four CDs out.
Right.
But you, in between Intimacy and Brighter Days, why was there an eight-year lapse? You know, because I see it was, what, 97 to, I think, 2006 before you made Brighter Days?
Yeah. It just took some time off. And, of course, you know, there were some changes that I needed to make as far as my career because I moved to Atlanta back in 98. And
okay.
Thinking I'd have a great relationship working hand in hand with John Abbey and Nina Easton out of Ichabod Records and the company folded in 99. You know, so what was funny is Paul Taylor and I came out at the same time. We came out with our freshman projects in 97. Back in 95 But the thing is, I was working on that and my success of Intimacy, and right after that, the situation with Ichabod Records, I was a free agent, and while I was on the road promoting, I was at the same time trying to find a home for my next few projects, and. So I sat on it for a minute and had to regroup and figure out, you know, and of course the industry was going through different changes, going a different direction, and so that was, you know, it was more personal than anything else.
Okay.
You know,
and it still is going through changes in different directions.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's crazy, yeah. Just crazy. Your work with you're re-recording Maxwell's This Woman's Work.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions: have you met Maxwell?
No, I haven't. I know.
Okay.
I know the horn section though.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. And your inspiration for recording re-recording that song?
Oh, I listened to Kate Bush's version of it. I've seen the video, and what inspired me the most was just the video footage. Maxwell's version of that song, and it was a beautiful song. And I like using songs or recording songs that are melodically challenging. Try to figure out my interpretation of it, and of course. I don't want to change anything from that. I don't want to deviate from his version because everyone connected to that and everyone tells me about that song. And to be honest with you, years ago I had a friend of mine who was at USC and she was telling me, man, you got to listen to Maxwell's This Woman's Work. And I refused to, you know, like, no, you know, all the women were digging that song. And now spending time with it and really listening to it and absorbing, you know, the lyrics really inspired me to record it. And like I said, just the melody alone was, just grabbed me, you know.
Yeah. Well, I love all of your remixes. I love the one, As Soon As I Get Home, that was by Faith. And you did another one, I think Say Yes, it was Floor Tree.
Yeah, everybody, you know what, I just seem to have this knack for recording songs. I mean, we put out Can We Talk, which was the first single, the very first one off of my first CD, Can We Talk? And then mm-hmm. Anytime, Anyplace, which is Janet Jackson's tune, and the third CD, Intimacy, we came out with As Soon As I Get Home. That was a Jerry Peters call. You know, he loved that song, and wow, he brought in a live string section for that song. If you listen to it again, it's the South Central String Quartet performing on that song, and man, it was beautiful. I was there for that session alone was incredible. And Jerry called me into the studio, and I remember I was knocked out from a gig the night before, and he calls me and, "Dean, it's time to record the song," and I had not rehearsed it, and that was the result of it, you know. So it was impromptu, but it felt good at the time, and we kept the take on it. And so that song, the third CD, Say Yes, everyone twisted my arm to do Say Yes. I record actually I used that song in one of my concerts, and the company I was signed to then asked me if I would put that out as a single. And Brighter Days was actually the single. But, you know, record labels, record companies are fickle like that. So I ended up recording Say Yes, which did well. It climbed to number 18 on the top 50 smooth jazz charts, which was cool. And got some work out of that. And of course, waited, you know, going through some changes again with labels and came out with Love Takes Time.
Okay. Now, Dean, I know me and you, we've chatted, like I said, a few times, and I did want to ask you this because I know Terry's man is Brian Coberson. And me and you were talking about the time when Brian offered you to go on tour with him. You want to tell the fans about that?
Well, sure. I mean, if you know some of his band members, I'm sure you're familiar with. He's got a secondary keyboard player. His name is Eddie Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie used to be my musical director for 7 years when I lived in L.A. And we did concerts together. Eddie was my guy. He put all my music together, rehearsed the band, and I just come in and rehearse the intros and the outros, and that was it. But Eddie's now traveling with Brian as the musical director. Now, the funny thing about it is I had a sax tech at the time, who Jimmy Reed, who is also a horn player. And I think Jimmy put out a CD a few years back. Well, he was my sax tech, and actually I moved to Atlanta in 98. No one knew that I was leaving except for my band. And but I lost contact with Eddie, and Eddie was trying to hunt me down when he got the gig, when he got hired by Brian. They were looking for a sax player, and my sax tech ended up getting the gig. And I talked to Eddie a while ago. I said, "Man, what happened to you, man? I couldn't find you. I couldn't reach you. You know, it's like, well, you know, I just needed a break." The move was a good move for me, because Atlanta was one of my biggest markets, and I really wanted to tap into the East Coast market as well, you know. But needed some time to regroup, and I hate that I missed out on that gig, because I love Brian's music so much. I follow his music and I listen to it, Sensual being one of the songs on my CD now, that was, like I said, I had written it for Brian, and I ended up recording it, and that was a big influence of mine to write that song, was Brian's ballads, as a matter of fact, were more R&B and real funky, but real real subtle, and I just like the way he writes his ballads. So that, you know.
Mm-hmm. So do I. Yeah. Are you working on a new? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no. I was going to tell Dean that we had a young man on yesterday who is being compared to Brian. A young man by the name of Jonathan Fritzen. He's out of Sweden.
Okay.
Yeah. So you may want to look him up. So you know, in the future, I guess, you know, because Jonathan is oh my God, he's unbelievable.
Wow.
So you guys may want to hook up too, because he's a very good keyboardist.
Yeah. I'll check that out.
Yeah, he's really good. Are you working on a new album?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Well, I just started that 2-3 weeks ago, and I've been trying to figure it out. You know, I've gone to YouTube and every source that I can think of to really piece together this project. And I thought about doing a tribute CD, you know, listen to the Stylistics, listen to the Isley Brothers, I even thought about, hey, doing a tribute to Brian McKnight, but you know, he's still out there doing his thing, and then I've got a whole slew of originals that I'd like to do, and just maybe bring in two or three cover tunes as I've done in the past, you know. But new one is entitled "Come as You Are," and I'll have a home for it, you know, soon.
Okay.
But it's just a new project that I'm excited about, and it's once again, it's one of those where it's melodically challenging for me, and I can't wait to share it with everybody.
Well, we have Cheryl Boone in the chat room, and she must have ESP because she says it's due out in February.
Oh, well, yeah, she knows. I know who that is. Yeah. It's in the makings, and I'm to finish it hopefully by the end of December, and you know, have it considered for a February release. But you know, we're crossing our fingers and staying prayerful and making sure that happens. You know, if not, then I'm waiting for a good home. You know, put this CD out there.
See, that's why you can't tell Cheryl nothing. Because Cheryl just gonna let everybody know before you even tell.
Of course, Cheryl, I'll catch you on Facebook.
You know, she gonna tell everybody when it come out. You know.
Oh my God.
Oh man, too funny.
That's funny. That is funny.
Well, let's take a listen to one more song. Let me tell you what I have up here, Dean, and then you can tell me. Let's see, we played "Can I Take You Out" and "When I See You Smile." So I have "Can You Feel It," "Love Takes Time," and "Neon Skies."
Okay. Well, how about the title track? We can do the title track.
Okay.
It's a pretty song.
All righty. "Love Takes Time."
Thank you.
Oh, that is so nice. I love that. Love, love, love that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was hot.
Mm-hmm. That was Love Takes Time, the title track from Dean's CD. Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Very nice. So what's coming up for you? What projects are coming up other than the new CD?
Just that. I'm focusing on that and
okay.
trying to bring in some other writers. And I'm going to call some of my my friends out in L.A. I've got two songs that I've submitted to Jeff Lorber, and he's giving it a listen and try to give me a better production of these two songs. And I've been wanting his input on my music for years, and we just never touched bases. And a good friend of mine out of L.A., Tony Moore, who plays drums, actually, for Huge Groove, for Down to the Bone, Norman Brown. He plays for everybody. Great musician, and he's working with Jeff right now and on the I think they're on the Guitars and Saxes tour. And so I've been keeping in contact with Tony and just to try to get the material to Jeff, and Jeff has committed to it, so it's a cool deal. And trying to get Paul to come back on it, Paul Jackson Jr., Luis Conti. I've got one song that I'm working on now with Bobby Lyle featured on a track, and that's the very few that I've mentioned so far. there's others that I want to bring in on this project as well, and make it worthwhile listening to.
Yeah. Now, Dean, this label you have, Silhouette Records, that's your own label, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
That's correct. That's put out Brighter Days under my own label and through a local distributor out of Houston, and I just wish that we could have done more for the CD, and it didn't get the airplay that it needed. But I think too, it had a lot to do with Say Yes as a single, and it's kind of like. Political move or it was a decision on their part, and I think we could have gotten more out of the Brighter Days CD than anything else, and that's been a struggle, not just for me but for a lot of other artists,
yes.
trying to get heard, especially
being
an independent artist, and same thing with Love Takes Time, and that's one wanted to really push that one because it was something that I took my time putting together and went through the channels of getting it out there and it's still charting, but I think with the changes radio is making and just the way the industry's the direction that it's going into, it's just trying to figure out another way to better market, our product,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Well, Mr. Dean James, this has been such a pleasure speaking to you.
Oh, pleasure's all mine.
And definitely would like to have you back when the next CD drops.
Okay.
Help you promote that as well.
Great.
All right. So thank you. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to ask Dean, like I said, we've chatted, and I'm still, I got the email about you're going to be coming to the East Coast in December.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, so like I said, definitely I'm trying to, find some venues and everything out here, and everything like we spoke about before and all of that, but are there any other places on the East Coast you're going to be coming to pretty soon?
Well, I've been talking to David Stevens.
Okay, up in Philly.
Yeah, out of Philly, and...
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Bob Baldwin, and he's out in upstate New York. So, and I used to work with Bob when he lived in Atlanta. So,
okay.
Just a couple of things, and my daughter's out in Brooklyn, so I figured let me hang out with her for a minute and spend some time with her and tackle the music at the same time,
Yeah.
And just want to keep my feet wet and keep the name out there and keep the music going.
All right. Well, we will definitely promote the music and keep it going so it'll get heard.
All right.
For sure. And, again, we definitely would love to have you back when your new CD is released in February.
Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Well, Terry and Mike, I appreciate you having me on board, and thank you so much for the interview.
Hey.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
You have a great day.
All right, then. And we'll definitely see you on Facebook, so.
Okay. We'll chat with you later, Mike.
All right, brother.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, that was Dean James. We're talking about his latest CD, Love Takes Time. Go out and buy it. You can get it on his website, deanjamesmusic.com. It is also on CD Baby and on Amazon. So check it out. Mike, you got anything coming up?
Nothing really coming up right now. No, I'm just chilling right now.
Okay, and I didn't get a chance to ask you about the game. So who's winning?
Well, like I said, the Redskins lost and Baltimore lost. So I've been, of course, like I said, Terry's been joking with me all every Sunday about watching the football game. So I'm sitting here just watching the games and everything, and I know it'd be coming up on 4:00. I'm like, okay, but I got to call into the show right now. So
30 seconds before we go live, he calls in.
Hey, man, I'm still on time.
Cheryl said you go into hiding. That's all men that like football. When the football season starts, they all just disappear. They all disappear. Mike is one of them.
Oh, wow.
For sure. Oh, okay. All right. Next Saturday, we are talking to saxophonist Jessie J, and I am really excited to talk to her because this woman, literally, when she came on the scene, she has just hit the ground running, and she has been going nonstop. So it's taken Cheryl, her publicist, and I a minute to get her scheduled. So we finally got her scheduled for the 17th. I am excited to talk to her. So tune in next Saturday for saxophonist Jessie J. And, again, go out and get Dean James' CD, Love Takes Time. It will surely get you in the mood for your favorite glass of wine, that special someone, and head straight for that repeat button. So thank you, Dean James, again, for talking to us. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz on blogtalkradio.com with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
We look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next week. Have a smooth day.